How far do you get in? I mean, you could probably go in too far. To me.
Yeah.
You know, you could try to look at every single scripture and say, oh, this is what that means, or this is, you know. I could see the point because I wrote down some of the stuff that you had from last week, but that I could look at and say, oh, that's what I see in this this verse or something like that. But how you know when to cut it off?
Yeah.
Because you can probably drive yourself.
Well, this, like, so this is what you're bringing out is that fruit picture that I was saying, how that the juice could keep going.
Yes.
And that's the problem. Because you could keep, because honestly.
I've been awake 4 nights.
Because, I mean, do you want to get crazy? I mean, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy. Because, I mean, like, because here's another level, right?
Yeah.
So you look at John. You look at John chapter 1, right? I mean, because I want to show how crazy this could get. John chapter 1, right? Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. What other verse in the Scripture sounds like that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. What other verse?
Genesis
1, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
So in the beginning. But look how much it sounds like that, like Genesis 1. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that was being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you remember Genesis 1:3? And let there be light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So we're starting off all the way back in Genesis, this guy. And then, only in this part of the book of John, only in this part really, maybe in chapter 7, this is the only part where John is speaking about days. So here we have, in the beginning is light. In the beginning is the Word. Then you have light. And then you start seeing stuff about days that John is bearing witness. And then it says, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the third day. Doesn't Genesis 1 do the same thing? So your point, what I'm saying is, you could keep going.
Sure.
In fact, if you go through the rest of the book of John, you can actually see the entire Exodus when Jesus goes down to the water and he feeds them the bread from heaven, just like the Jews in the wilderness fed with manna. You could keep going and you could keep going. What's the cutoff point? I don't think there is. What I tend to do, I just give you what I do. So when I go into the text in John 2, what I try to do is I split it into circles, into like a sphere. So I have first the level one is the context, the near context. This is the stuff that's nearby. So I start off there because when I start here, I know exactly, not exactly, but pretty close what the writer wants me to know. Right now on the page. He decided to write this. This is what he wants me to read. This is where I'm staying. So you'll even notice, though, like, even when I preach, I don't tend to preach different. Like, I don't, if I'm preaching from 1 Samuel 4 or 1 Samuel 3, I tend to stay in 1 Samuel 3. I might give you some detail on Judges, but then I stay in there. If I preach from Colossians 2, I stay in Colossians and I don't go out. That's me. So what I tend to do is I stay in what's nearby to see what's happening there. And then I go far. I only go far after I've done a lot in the near. So for example, here's another good example. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 14? No, let's look and start at verse 9 for the paragraph. Nicodemus said to them, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'll stop there for now. So what Jesus, I read the passage and I see, the near context is that Jesus is having a discussion with Nicodemus, and he's talking about belief and the way you're supposed to believe, and that you're supposed to believe that the Son of Jesus, so that when the Son of Man is lifted up, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So that's the near context, right? But then the far context is automatically here, because it said in verse 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So right away, I have this thing that connects me to the far. And this is the as. Jesus is making an analogy. He's comparing something. So for me to get the text even better, I now have to go far. But first, I need to study what it says. So what I do then is I first get what it seems to be saying here, and then I go, all right, now to go far. And then I got to go to the book of Numbers to see what was happening. Why did Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness? What was the story there? How is Jesus just talking about being lifted up on a cross? So it's just a matter of Moses did something vertical. I'm going to be vertical. That's when you believe in me. Or is there something else going on there? And when I get to there, I find out, there is something else going on. But then you could study the entire book of Numbers. So here's the point. I stop when I get tired. I'll stop when I get tired. I mean, I squeeze it, then I get tired and I go, well, man, I have something I pick up later. But you could keep going, and you could keep going. Because I know one guy who just, this guy, like Eric Broadbent, right? So Eric Broadbent, and the guy who was teaching it, like the David Gooding, this guy would go deep. And you're sitting there, and you come out of the stuff, and you're like walking wobbly. And it's like, yo, I don't know.
One thing I like about Eric, he always said, if you see something different other than me, you come up and discuss it with me. Eric always says that.
He blows my mind.
Yes.
I mean, because, I was telling this to Preston after he had preached, that Eric is one of the guys, he preaches a lot. He goes all over the place. He goes to major conferences to hear from the best. He shares with these guys. So, and he's really humble. I might have to cut all this from the tape, but well, we won't tell him. But when he approaches the Bible, it's always with a sort of this is what it says, and he backs off. He'll even say I'm not sure what this means. Maybe it means this. Maybe it means this. If you have insight, let me know. And he takes that stuff and he adds it to himself.
Yeah.
But what he doesn't do, he doesn't presume on the text. And I sit there and I look at my own preaching. I'll preach, this is what it is. And I'm like, but I remember doing that at 20. And then looking back at 20 and a half and going, whoa, I was wrong. And Eric's approach, it's always, I could be wrong, and I'm telling you I could be wrong right up front.
Sure.
And that's very impressive. It's very impressive. We're done. And I'm sorry, that wasn't much of a workshop. That should have been more of you guys doing the work instead of me standing up there. But are there anything else anybody wants to say? How about your homework?
Well,
what do you guys
that's what I kind of like to get into, some of the things that I did and probably some of the things that are off the wall, all right? But, you asked one question about compare some of the miracles that he did. And the two miracles, basically, because I didn't get into it too much, was changing the water into wine because there were nothing there. It started from nothing. And feeding the 5,000 started from nothing, though there were two fishes. So it just showed the power of the Lord. But more so, the key to that, feeding the 5,000, this is how I looked at it. The key to the 5,000, to me, was going to witness to the 5,000. Let's see. Talking about when he went to feed the 5,000, this was the key that I see, that when he went to feed the 5,000, if he was going to preach to the 5,000, and if they were hungry, they would never heard a word he could say. That's the way I looked at feeding the 5,000. Okay, that was one of the things I looked at. Let's see. They would never have heard the word he was saying or something like that. The Samaritan woman, the way I looked at it that way, is the when he went to the Samaritan and he talked to the Samaritan woman, and the apostles were marveled. What's he talking to the Samaritan woman? Because, you know, they believed in different gods and so forth like that. And Jesus, to me, he was showing the apostles when they came back, you reach out to Samaria, to the outer parts of the world. He was showing them what they had to be fishers of men, because he was a fisher of earth, you know. And that kind of looked at me. He was showing his disciples, you got to reach. Mm-hmm. You got to reach out. You can't just stay there in your comfort zone. And then, let's see, John's apostle, Jesus, let's see. They didn't say stay in the comfort zone. And it says something about, Acts, you shall be a witness to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria throughout the world. I was kind of wondering if the Samaria was the Samaritan woman as reaching out.
Oh,
you know, I kind of related to that, you know. Like even Jesus was showing that he didn't stay in his comfort zone. He was reaching out. And when the apostles marveled, what he's talking to her for, you know, he was showing them, you got to reach. You got to reach these people, you know. So I kind of, that's what I kind of looked at.
So since Marty decided to speak first with Omar, let's get everybody involved. So your first one was that.
The power of Jesus.
The power of God.
He started from.
Started from there. Yeah. And you also made a connection with the wedding of Cana. Is there a possible connection here? I mean, how about with the last miracle, too? I mean, these were all three miracles there that dealt with the disciples working, right? That's weird, right? That the first one, the servants worked. This one, the disciples were the one who were dishing out the food, carrying the baskets. And the last one, the disciples were the ones who were fishing and doing the catch. Is there a connection here? I'm just putting it out there. The other thing you said, feed them first before they listen, right? How do we feel with that?
It's a good idea, because when you're hungry, you're not
paying
attention. It's a good idea, right? It's a good idea. And it sounds like a recommended practice.
Isn't that what you did here?
It's what we did here, right? Now, let's look at the text. Let's look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Feast of the Jews was near. Therefore, Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing what a large crowd was coming to him, said the following stuff. So there's the miracle, the stuff that happens with the miracle, right? So then look at after the miracle, verse 15. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. So here's what's important. When we're looking at the miracle here in John chapter 6, did he feed them first and then speak? Or did other stuff happen and then he fed them?
Other stuff happened.
A lot of other stuff, right? In fact, how did it end? I'm not picking on you, Marty. I'm making us look at the text. No, but the thing here, so we're looking at the text, right? So what winds up happening? At the end, there's no words. He leaves. So what's going on? So when we go to the other gospel accounts, we find out that actually Jesus has been speaking all day and performing signs all day. And then it says when the hour was late, he went to feed them. So what's going on? So now here's the point. I'm not picking on you.
Yeah.
So no what? Problem. It's right, right? It is right. The idea, we feed people first to get them to be
more attentive.
James tells you this. He says, you're going to be saying that you love someone and yet the people are there like a pauper. Show me your faith by your works. No, show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith with works. Doesn't James say that? That's right. Right? And Jesus actually says, whenever you feed one of those poor, you fed me. Right? Whenever you went into the prisons, you fed me. So Marty's right. Yes.
There's another connection there. It just came to my mind, yeah. But it tells us in Corinthians about eating and drinking first before you come to the Lord's table.
Yeah. Don't come to the Lord's table hungry. So this is a right principle. But when we're submitting to the text as it stands, do we get it from here? We don't get it from here, right? We get it from other places. But there is a principle here, though. Jesus does feed them. He does feed them. So it's not necessarily before or after the meal that he gives them the talk so they can listen. But he says here that he sees them and he goes to feed them. He's concerned about their needs. He's definitely concerned. And that's what we see in the other Gospels. The hour was late and he sees this great crowd of people. And then he decides to feed them. So there's a principle there, but are we getting that from the text? Not really. I'm sorry for picking you. Who else has homework? But no, the whole point of that was to just having our eyes looking at what it says to see what happened. Because here's the other interesting thing that I like about this section too. So in the other gospel accounts, we see that Jesus decides to do the miracle because he sees the people and he sees it's late. And they're like sheep without a shepherd. But here's another reason we see for the miracle. Verse 5, therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Isn't that wild? So in the other gospel accounts, you get that he sees the people, they're hungry, and it's late. Here we're getting the other part of it, that he was also testing the disciples. That's wild. And he already knew what he was going to do. That's wild. All right. Sorry. I'll shut up. That's good stuff.
One other thing, and I forget what I wrote it down.
By the way, I think you should also follow up on those connections.
Okay.
From the first, this one, and the last one.
Yeah.
There's something there.
Okay.
It sure sounds like there's something there. This sounds like something that anybody who's been looking at those miracles, the first and the last, and you've been looking, if you look at this one here with the feeding of the 5,000, there seems to be some sort of connection. Okay. Definitely some sort of connection. All right, where are you going?
I'm just going because where it was Peter confesses faith. Mm-hmm. But it was a statement that was saying in John 6:66, for from this time many of his disciples went back and walked
mm-hmm.
with him no more,
yeah.
Which was just telling me God gave everybody a free will.
Mm.
That's all, you know. It was a free will. Not everyone walked with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people walked away with. That's all. As far mm-hmm. that was a different.
The question I ask with that though, were they really disciples? I mean, he calls them disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they walked with him no more.
Yeah. That's something, huh? To be a disciple that walks no more.
Well, that's what I see.
That's,
you know,
wild.
He actually throws a test, kind of like a test there, where he says, "Do you also want to go away?" to the other 12.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the thing, it's sort of to ask this, but I see this, I go through this an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
Add to or take away from.
Yeah.
I see so many churches add to and take away from. Where do you draw the line?
Mm.
Marty, what about our own church?
Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't worry about the other ones.
No, I'm not worrying about the other ones.
He's worrying about the people.
The
yeah.
people.
Yeah,
why?
I know. I'll teach
no, I think we're more so accurate than a lot of the other churches because I've been in the other ones.
Right.
As far as that's concerned. You know, it's just adding to or taking away from. When I see it in Scripture, and I see people don't do that. Or people don't, you know.
Wait, the thing is that, I mean, I even take a look at what we looked at this morning. Okay, in the wedding at Cana. All right. I've made all kinds of presumptions. We hear all those presumptions even talked mm-hmm. about in our own assembly. And the danger, I believe, and I was talking to Ray about this a little earlier, mm-hmm. is that you're basically taking away the power of God's word. When you change or add, the power's gone. You know? It really is. It's got to be remained pure. And if it's pure, I think we would be amazed at the power of God's word in the ears, not only to people, but even to the world.
Mm.
You know?
I also think there's something to be said about, I mean, it's possible that a person could be taken away by mistake or adding by mistake.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Like, you think about Apollos. Like, Apollos, there he goes preaching, but he didn't know, he only knew up to the baptism of John. And he's preaching, and then Priscilla and Aquila, they go up and they teach him a more excellent way. So it's so I think what I'm saying is that, like, what John's warning at the book of Revelation seems to be more geared towards those people who are intentional about it. Like, those people who are there was this guy in the early church named Marcion, and what he did, he didn't like the God in the Old Testament. He thought, oh, this guy is too mean. So he created a Bible where he gets rid of the whole Old Testament, and he took apart parts of Matthew, of Mark. He took out parts of Romans. He included some of the books of Paul. He took out Peter because there was too much Old Testament in that. He took all those out. And there you have an example. And then he says, this is the true Christianity. And then the whole church condemned him as a heretic. Yeah, that guy was taken away. And you see that happening today. Like, a lot of people, like, it's almost like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll create their own Bible to take away. And I mean, that's one of those areas that I'm like, you're being intentional about it. Now I'm nervous. All right, anybody else have homework? I know we're finished. We're done. And so, and I just went a little long with my section. We're done, so.
Do we have something for next time?
Next time. You know what? Next time, let's look at, I mean, I know some of you have been looking at the feeding of the 5,000, right?
Yeah.
So look at the miracles of the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on water. And try to see if there's connections there. If there's, start off with a chart. So do some charting with your homework. So that way, if you build a chart of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracle of the walking on water, and for that homework, to make it a little bit more difficult, now mind you, this is just chapter 6, read the discussion afterwards and ask, does this have anything to do with these two miracles? So let's close in prayer then. Blessed Lord God, we do thank you for this time that we can spend studying your scriptures and looking into what it says and trying to bend our wills and our hearts and our minds to what you say. We ask that you continue to teach us, O Lord. Teach us to be good Bereans, studying the scripture to see what is said there. Protect us as we go home. Watch over us today. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ.